Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. It's been a week dominated by the debate on housing, specifically the government proposed changes for the rental sector. We will get to that shortly. But John Cummins, you're in the Department of Housing. I want to ask you firstly about some news on the Housing Agency. That, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a government body. One of its primary functions is to accelerate housing supply. It was announced yesterday that the chair of the Housing Agency, Michael Carey, has resigned. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, look, Michael has submitted his resignation. He was obviously the chair of the Housing Agency and of Enterprise Ireland. I know both Minister Burke and Minister Brown have thanked him for his work that he has taken part. But obviously he has resigned and I wish him well in his future endeavours. And we will be moving quickly through the Public Appointment Service to fill those very important roles.
All right. While we're on the subject of appointments and roles, by the way, can you clarify for us whether or not you have legal powers as Minister for State in the Department of Housing?
So the delegation orders are being finalised at the moment, Cormac. It's certainly not impacted me in terms of my ability to be able to do my work. I'm working very closely with Minister Brown and all of the team. We have a draft there that's being finalised, and I expect it to be finalised very shortly, Colm.
Right. Well, it must have had some impact if you don't have the powers formally delegated to you.
No, it actually hasn't. I've been working with my officials, with Minister Brown, brought forward legislation in the areas of the extensions of planning durations, and I've been working extensively in relation to exempted development, which will go on public display in the next couple of weeks. So obviously those delegation orders will be finalised shortly, but I've been doing my work within the department and will continue to do so.
Yeah, so what's the point of actually having powers to junior ministers if junior ministers don't need any powers to do the work that they're doing? It's 145 days since the election. And I think that this is one of the major problems with this administration. It's one of the most bureaucratic, glacial, slow administrations in the history of the state. And what we're seeing in the likes of the National Children's Hospital, the likes of Metro North, that glacial, bureaucratic instinct is coming from the very, very top of government. And it's absolutely ludicrous that you have guys in position for 145 days. You know, there is a statement, no pay, no power. And, you know, I think that should be the situation. If the junior ministers don't have the power to do the work, they shouldn't be getting paid the €190,000 that they gave themselves when this government came into power.
All right, Kathleen Funchin, your party is pursuing a court case about the number of junior ministers in the government. Can you tell us where that's at the moment?
Yeah, so due to be in the court around between the 7th and the 9th of July, so next month, Pat Daly is taking that, of course, on behalf of Sinn Féin. And I think, you know, it's very straightforward in terms of it's in breach of the constitution, the amount of ministers we have. And I will say, I think we have far too many junior ministers and there's just...
You want a number of them demoted if you're successful, do you?
Well, I think what we're seeing really with this government is an obsession with a title and a job for absolutely everybody. It really hasn't seemed to have gotten into any of the actual issues and work. I mean, we've spoken about Palestine and the horrific situation there. We also have a very serious housing crisis, which we've had for several years under this type of government.
Let's get into that particular issue now, because John Cummins, the Dáil schedule is circulated on a Friday, and opposition parties quick to notice no time set aside next week for the promised emergency legislation to give effect to the nationwide rent pressure zone cap. There seemed to be some confusion around that. The department saying that that wouldn't happen until the 1st of March next year. Figures in government saying it was to be rolled out as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But now we have no time to debate that. What can you tell us about that?
Well, what I can say is there's currently 17% of the country that aren't covered by rent pressure zones. As a result of the decision that's been made by government this week, we've made a decision to expand rent pressure zones nationwide.
I think people are aware of that. They want to know when.
Well, so it will happen in the next couple of weeks, and it was always the case that this was going to be brought forward in advance of the other legislation, whether that was going to be part of the extension of planning durations bill, which will be passed before the summer before the summer recess, or whether it's part of a standalone bill. Okay, that was always the case.
The Daily Mail revealed on Friday that the cabinet memo was circulated and highlighted the risks of not implementing the changes immediately. And there's a quote from it in the mail. It says, although it's proposed that the main measure will be introduced on March 1st, 2026, there's a concern that the likely announcement of national rent control measures may put tenants in areas not currently designated as RPZs, that's rent pressure zones, at risk of significant rent increases. A landlord will become aware that from March 1st, they will be limited to increase the rent at the level of the consumer price index up to a maximum of 2%. With no restriction in rent increase, other than not charging above the market rent, there is a very significant risk that landlords who haven't already carried out a rent review during the past 2 years may decide to increase rents before March 1st. Wouldn't it be prudent to act next week to avoid the risk of that?
And this is going to Cabinet next week, and I'm sure if time can be found next week to pass this, it'll be passed next week. But it was always the case that 17% were going to come into the mix. It's important, that piece that you rightly referenced there, that there cannot be a review of rent if it has taken place within the last 2 years in a rent pressure zone area, or where there is a no rent pressure zone area. That's very important.
You said if time can be found. Can government not make the time?
Look, it will go before Cabinet on Tuesday. You obviously can't make provision for time when you don't have approval of the Cabinet. I expect the Whip's office to make time available in the context of this, but it was always the case that this was being brought forward. And importantly, okay. Colm, I think it's important to say we're focusing on one tiny element of this, when in fact what we have done in this, we've extended rent pressure zones. We are also looking at introducing no-fault evictions for the very first time, and we're also encouraging investment.
John Cummins, you call it one tiny element, but the memo that was circulated to Cabinet says, with no restriction in rent increase other than not charging above the market rent, quote, there is a very significant risk that landlords who haven't already carried out a rent review during the past 2 years may decide to increase rents before March 1st.
And that is why we are moving swiftly in relation to this matter. We will bring legislation. It was always the intention, despite what the opposition say, it was always the intention to bring legislation quickly in relation to this, and we will. But there are other measures that were announced this week that aren't getting any attention, that are very positive in terms of encouraging investment into the market while also protecting renters. And I think it's important that we talk about those also.
Okay, maybe that's because that's been done, and this is an outstanding measure that people have highlighted and you would concede yourself, still needs to be done. Kathleen Funchen, could time be found next week? Do you think your party would be amenable to finding that time?
Well, in relation to time for debates on important issues in the Dáil, it's all about political will, and of course there can always be time, and I always point back to COVID when people were able to find time, rightly so, at various kind of points of that situation. But I think, to be honest, this situation is not good at all for renters. As you've pointed out, a number of people have been, warning that there is the possibility, and probably a very strong possibility, that people's rents will be increased before March. We don't really have a time frame, even though we've heard March. And the level of confusion, can I just say, for people and for renters out there is unbelievable around the fact that, the rent can be put up, and then if you move out. So for an example, is a very good example, I think, is a student who generally students move out of accommodation in May. Their rent then, if they're moving back in September to a different accommodation, which is nearly always what happens in that situation with students, can be put up to the market rent. So there's huge confusion
and
there.
We'll get to that specific issue in a moment, but just on the issue of the legislation next week, Padraig Tobin.
Yeah, so the government control the time in the Dáil. The government can make a decision at any stage in relation to putting time for this particular bill to go through. To be honest, the government doesn't know what's happening. Last week was amateur hour. We had, different iterations of their plan delivered on a daily basis. I don't think, the government still understand what's happening. And people talk about there may be an increase of rent before March 1st, 2026. There will be an increase of rent before March 2026. It is the government's plan to increase rents. That is the premise of this particular project.
John Cummins, Padraig Tobin,
just one voice at a time. John Cummins.
Look, there's been a complete misrepresentation of this by opposition. They were briefing in the papers last weekend when they didn't even have cited the fact of what was being introduced by this government. They weren't expecting our RPZs to be extended nationwide.
Well, to be fair, there was other briefings in the papers talking about changes to RPZs that weren't coming from opposition.
If I could make the point, if you have a whole range of people on the spectrum from threshold through to investors in the private rental market coming out and welcoming the changes that have been announced by government this week, which sought to strike the balance between protecting renters and encouraging investment into the rental market, I believe we've struck that balance. And that's not me saying it. That's the stakeholders who deal with these matters day in, day out.
All right. Patrick Tobin, are you saying there's nothing in what was announced last week that you welcome? The extension of rent pressure zones across the country as a principle into areas like Donegal and Kerry. Do you not think that that's welcome?
I welcome that for sure. Aintu called for that for the last number of years. We actually called as well to get rid of, you know, the idea of ending contracts on people for no fault and creating evictions. We've been calling that for that for a number of years. But at the very premise of the government's plan is to increase the number of investors within the sector. And the way they aim to increase the number of investors in the sector is to see rents increase.
In new build apartments.
But also the processes that they're delivering in terms of the resetting of rents to market levels for certain sectors of new tenancies will also increase rents. And the fact that they're not bringing this into place creates that instability where obviously there's an incentive to a landlord to increase rents as well.
You don't see any benefits in terms of the extension of protections to tenants who remain in tenancies and the six-year time period for rent reviews or any of that. You don't welcome any of that, do you?
There are some benefits for tenants. No, absolutely. But the key issue here is we have record rents and the government still seek to increase those rents. What the government should have done is decrease VAT on the building of houses, which would have actually decreased the cost of actually new builds so people can buy homes as well. And this only focuses on rents.
We are focusing on the delivery of
new builds for homes.
We are focusing on this particular issue because it's the most recent development in the area of housing. But that issue that Kathleen Funchen brought up, John Cummins, of students who voluntarily exit a tenancy at the end of the academic year and will be looking for a new one the following September. They are vulnerable to rent hikes, aren't they?
So we've been clear on this this week also that there is work to be done between the Department of Further Higher Education and the Department of Housing in relation to matters to do with student-specific accommodation.
But that's purpose-built accommodation. A lot of students are in private rented accommodation.
The vast majority of them are, in fact.
And that's something that I would be happy to work with members of the opposition on at the Joint Oireachtas Committee where this legislation will be teased out. That's why we have given the space to the 1st of March next year in order to be able to get these matters right where we have the space to do it. But we've also made decisions from this week that from Wednesday, any new build apartments that have started construction will be subject to a different regime because we want to ensure that there's more supply of rental accommodation in this country. And if Patter thinks that continuing the status quo in relation to this will deliver further investment into the apartment sector, I don't know who he's talking to.
I'll let you back in that moment, but the space you're talking about to tease out those issues is also space, would you concede, John Cummins, to let landlords hike rents. Look at what Simon Harris said in the Dáil last week. We intend to have proposals to Cabinet next week that will see the Minister for Housing bring forward an interim bill, emergency legislation, call it what you will, that I think will the assistance of the opposition, who I believe will assist on this matter, we should seek to swiftly pass through the Oireachtas. I'm very satisfied the legislation James Brown will bring forward next week will extend protections to more renters than ever before in Ireland, and I think that's a good day's work. And then no time afforded to actually debate this issue in the Dáil on an issue you see as important.
So we're talking about two different matters here. Existing tenants are in rent pressure zones. There can be no changes. Only the 2% or inflation, whichever is is less. That does not change as a result of any changes that have been made.
But students are existing tenants.
No, they're under the same rules that are in place at the moment. If they're in a rent pressure zone, they are protected. That is the fact.
But they'll be voluntarily existing tenants at the end of the academic year.
The reality is, this is a time of year where a lot of people are thinking this because we're in the Leaving Cert time of year. And students, by their nature, they generally rent from September to May and then go home, work, etc. for the summer. And they will be voluntarily leaving. And it's not purpose-built student accommodation. There is very, very few students that qualify for a purpose-built student accommodation. That's another issue that we have in our housing sector that we haven't addressed over the years. But the big thing that I wanted to say is that this is not getting to grips again with the housing situation. Can I say, for the length of time I've been elected as a councillor, TD, MEP, the number one issue, and I'm sure most politicians will agree, is housing. So you know what? If there was genuinely good solutions coming forward from government, I would be the first to welcome it. It's not what John is trying to indicate about the opposition having a go. It's that this is incredibly frustrating for those of us that are dealing with people who are on notices to quit, who are desperately trying to find a place to rent, who maybe don't qualify for various supports. We need solutions for them, and some of those solutions are staring us in the face in the amount of vacant properties that we have in this country. Why can we not get a proper, decent plan in place to try and turn around some of these? And just to give an example, if you just look at local authority housing in the whole constituency of Ireland South, which is 10 counties, there's around 1,000 boarded up houses that there's no funds to do up. That's 1,000 families that could access those homes, as well as all the other private properties that we need to look at starting to turn around. People are absolutely so
I do want to ask John Cummins, but look, the government's position is that for new build apartments, if there's an opportunity for the people who are going to build them to have increased rents, that'll stimulate investment in the sector and more building. But the government has put 450 million on the table in its Croí Cónaithe scheme, and there's only about 20% of the target delivered by 2026 in progress. So what makes you think that an increase in rent in the new build sector is going to do the job that Croí Cónaithe couldn't do?
So there was a fourth call of Croí Cónaithe Cities launched this week by Minister Brown. It's an important scheme in terms of viability, the very thing that Padder spoke about. But I think it's important to say that for rental accommodation that students are in at the moment, which has been referenced here, that they'll be able to reset them to market rent at the end of this school year, that is not the case. It is the case currently that it's capped at 2%, and if there's a change in tenancy, that the rent stays the same at what the previous tenancy, and there is no change to that until new legislation is brought forward. And it's very important that we clarify that for people that are listening.
The new legislation coming forward.
No, for the element of bringing up areas that are not included in rent pressure zones into rent pressure zones. That's the piece of legislation.
Would they have to keep the tenancy over the summer months?
Yeah, you have to.
No, that is not the case. It's the
case. But if they voluntarily exit a tenancy, is the landlord not entitled to reset the rent to the market rent?
They're not. They're simply not. That is not the case currently, and it's not the case until there is any new legislation that is brought through. That is one of the measures that we are bringing forward for tenancies
so
that are new
just
tenancies.
Just that's one of the measures they're bringing forward.
No, there is confusion here.
There is serious confusion here. It reminds me of the ad where people says, you know, I don't know what a tracker mortgage is. It's like seeing the government on a bus saying, I don't know what a rent pressure zone is at the moment. So, you know, even if the government's plans do work, right, they admit themselves it will take 5 years for new supply to come onto the market in relation to this particular plan. In that time, rents are going to increase because of their actual plan as well. There are other constraints here that, you know, that are actually holding things back. We had Ishka Aaron in front of the committee last week, and I asked him the question, when will the infrastructure that's holding back the building of homes be complete? And they said it'll take 2050 for Ishka Aaron to be able to finalise that infrastructure so homes can be actually built at the moment. We have, you know, an incredible situation that planning applications are taking well over a year to get through on board Planola at the moment. You know, I've got builders crying out to be able to build, but they can't get their planning application back because on board Planola simply can't actually process them in time. We have, you know, an incredible situation where there's 4,000 local authority homes currently that are empty, and it's taken 8 months to get them around.
John,
there's 160,000 empty homes across. the country.
Okay, I want to go back to John Cummins. Just on the rent pressure zones issue, though, do you not accept that there has been a lot of confusion around this? You know, even journalists who came out of the press briefing during the week were confused about it, that even the housing department seemed to be saying one thing about when legislation would be introduced to implement the changes and what the government was saying. I mean, there are mixed messages coming out on this. Would you accept that?
There has been an attempt by opposition to misrepresent this. I want to be very clear that the legislation that is being brought forward very shortly is to extend rent pressure zones nationwide. That's the only element of the legislation. The other pieces will be brought forward in further legislation later in the year that we will tease out at the Joint Oireachtas Committee that will cover areas like student accommodation and all of the other areas to implement those changes that we have proposed this week. And I think that's very important for any listener listening in today.
I'm afraid that's where we have to leave it today.